What is your name, sir?
James DeWitt.
Okay, Mr. DeWitt, your name is Mr. DeWitt. Okay, the Honorable Mr. DeWitt, we conduct your hearing at this time, sir. I said the Honorable Mr. DeWitt will conduct your hearings, so just stay on the phone.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Yes, sir. My name is James Lawrence DeWitt. My number is 087-349.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. In the room, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.G. Wright. Next to me is Honorable Mr. David Neal. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Westby. And he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole office.
Okay.
Prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. On that form, you are notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself, thank you.
Thank you. Because you already had a probable cause hearing, we're going to conduct the first part of the hearing a little differently. I'm going to go ahead and swear you in now, pardon me, sir. Mr. DeWitt, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm, or so you will?
Yes, sir.
And yes, Mr. DeWitt. Thank you. Mr. DeWitt, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we will determine the terms and conditions of your community supervision. In phase two, we will determine whether your release status should be revoked or reinstated. As I stated, you received a probable cause hearing in front of a hearing officer on March 22, 2019. At that hearing, the probable cause officer found that, just one second, because I have to read from the probable cause hearing document. Due to Mr. DeWitt's admission, the allegation is true. I find probable cause that Mr. DeWitt violated a condition of his release and has lapsed. It's probably about the lapse in the criminal Razor company. So, based on the findings of the probable cause officer of the Department of Corrections, information contained in the warrant, I move to find Mr. DeWitt delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal Razor company.
Second.
Very good.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, be informed by the Honorable Dr. Wright, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. DeWitt, we're going to move right into the second phase of the hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about the case. If you will just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Tilley. Mr. Russell, one second. Okay, sir.
On November 26, 2018, Mr. DeWitt was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested February 19, 2019 by ADC staff for pending charges. He was back in U.S.C. custody on February 19, 2019, with the projected community supervision end date of November 26, 2060, 0 scan days. Current conviction, 1991, manslaughter, life. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in D.O.C. CUIR score, 3-2, mental health score, 2, substance abuse score, 2. There's no gang information noted. No prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs, disorderly conduct, and violence noted. Other arrest, 1965, theft, California, juvenile detention. 1968, drugs, California County Jail. 1968, drugs, California, juvenile detention. 1970, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1973, burglary, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1974, drugs, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1975, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1977, dangerous drug violation, California, county jail. 1980, drugs, California, county jail. 1988, robbery, California, felony conviction, probation. 1988, possession and sale of marijuana, California, county jail. 1990, assault with a deadly weapon, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2019, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, California, pending charges. His community risk score is a G1B1.
Mr. Westby, before we continue, that last one was 2019?
It says February 20th, 2019, miscellaneous felony or misdemeanor, California, pending charges.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Mr. DeWig, I am going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from prison and approved to resign changes, 1344 South Mesa Drive in Mesa. You never reported any other verifiable residence to your supervising officer while on supervision. So was that your residence before you were arrested by parole staff?
No, sir.
Where were you living, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you were attending hours?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Employment notes. You were approved to work through the halfway house. They're often working on furniture. Brought to provision. You never reported permit. Verified leave of employment. So, were you able to find steady work in the time that you were outside of prison, sir?
No, the way you, I went to the PES office for food stamps, and she told me because of my age and I couldn't go to work, and she sent me to the Social Security office, and they gave me Social Security.
So you were approved to receive, to receive Social Security benefits?
Yes, sir.
We have programming notes that you were referred to task for drug screening. You provided UAs. December 4, 2018 was negative. January 9, 2019 was negative. Also referred to CHC anger management. So did you take any anger management classes, Mr. DeWig?
Yes, sir. I sure did.
Were they and, helpful or useful?
I took anger management and psychological evaluation therapy.
Did you complete it or were you arrested before
complaining? I was arrested.
Okay. We have very long sanctions notes. It looks like that you incurred numerous violations while on supervision regarding your inability to follow instructions or adhere to your own arrest itinerary. On December 17, 2018, you were staffed for a violation of your itinerary. And I guess I could read this entire long paragraph, but it seems to be reiterating the four allegations that were reviewed during your probable cause hearing. They all seem to revolve around itinerary issues. So I'll just be direct, Mr. DeWig. This board is very invested in the success of people returning to the community, but it's also something that we feel a great responsibility to. And it seems that you are having some problems with your itinerary or adhering to your conditions. So what was happening, sir?
I have to take a bus to go to my classes at Fort Casillas. CHC, and they missed the bus a couple of times. So I left, the first violation was I left the house 4 minutes early. The second violation was I left the house 7 minutes early. The third violation was that I did a clerical error, and I went out 1 hour early. And the fourth one was the one I put for now. I had no problem the first 3 weeks I was out. He forced me, well, he ordered me to get a cell phone and send him my itinerary through the cell phone, you know, whether email or whatever they call it. The first 3 weeks I was out, I faxed them to him. I hand-wrote them. I wrote them out by hand, and then I faxed them to him, and there was no problem. I was in jail for 28 years. I don't know how to operate a cell phone. He ordered me to get a cell phone and email him my itinerary. And I couldn't, I just couldn't, I can now, but I couldn't then. I'd never seen a cell phone before. I didn't know how to operate it. And as I said, the first violation was because I left the house 4 minutes early. And the second one was because I left the house 7 minutes early. And I was trying to catch the bus, to acclimate myself to the bus schedules. Mr. Phillips provided me with a book of bus schedules for the Metro bus line. And there was no more than there were really no violations for a week earlier after that because I had a bus schedule. It's been with my fault. I couldn't grasp how to operate the cell phone properly. And I messed up. The last one, the number one I'm here for now, is because of the cell phone. Because the cell phone doesn't distinguish between the word two. And I left the house at 7 a.m. and I returned at 2 p.m. I didn't say 2 o'clock. And if you don't say o'clock, the 2 comes out as T-O rather than T-W-O. And I didn't know all this. I didn't know how to correct it. I'm sorry, that's all I can say. I didn't mean for this to happen. I was trying my doggones to be a good citizen and to reassimilate myself into society. And it's just a cell phone thing.
Thank you, Mr. DeWitt. I do want to say that we're in a tough position because there's no question in my mind that your parole officer was working with you. Otherwise,
yes, he was.
He might have violated you sooner. And the itinerary violations are taken very seriously because, let's be straight, you had a very serious criminal history before entering the Department of Corrections this last time you went in from capital crime. And we're going to monitor your transition very closely. Once you succeed, certainly I don't believe that this is some sort of setup of failure, but we have really big responsibilities in terms of monitoring that safe transition, especially with violent crimes in play. So I guess I should ask, should this board return you to community supervision, what would you do for this to go differently? Because you're still confronted with the bus, you still have work issues, you are new to the cell phone, I recognize that's new technology. I have some sympathy for you regarding the technology issue, but this isn't a hard decision. So what would you do differently?
I'll make sure the itinerary is done properly. We're not continuing to obey the law. I'll continue not to use drugs. I'm going to continue to try and be the best citizen that I can possibly be. And that has been my whole goal for 29 years. If you look at my history, it's been every class that I can take to change my head, to change my brain. I've done everything that I could possibly do. As far as Mr. Phillips, he was very tolerant and he was very helpful. I have no complaints with him at all. And everything that happened was my fault. I just have not grasped how to do that cell phone thing. And that's when all my problems started, is when he asked me, do you ever need to get a cell phone? And I got one. And that's when all the problems started. The first 3 weeks I was out, there was no problems. I faxed everything to him. But it was just, all I can do is apologize. It won't happen again, I can tell you that.
Okay, Mr. Kumbay, I want to get some information from our community corrections officer. You'll just wait a moment. Yes, Mr. Westby.
Yes, I need some additional information here. Number one, regarding that on the pending charge, it was to California. I saw there was an NCIC hit from Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office that was for felony larceny. And when he was getting released, they did have a hold on him. And it stated here that per the district attorney's office, it was not extraditable, but it was still active. So he does have a an active warrant from LA County for that felony larceny. Now, there is additional. As far as there was something I noticed is reviewing his compliance or non-compliance with his itineraries. There was something that I saw that wasn't on there and may have missed. And stated on here, this is from P.O. Phillips, February 20th, 2019, and he was contacted by the halfway house manager that stated that the offender wasn't following any house rules. The offender couldn't get along with other members of the house, would walk around in his underwear. He had 12 lifers in his program, and he was one of the worst, so he looked like he, as far as being accepted back to the program, if he was reinstated, he would not be able to go back to that halfway house.
Thank you, Mr.
Violations.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Mr. Dubray.
Yes,
I think, again, what's difficult is when you had your freedom at stake here, you had been inside the Department of Corrections for a long time. As I stated, you had quite a history of previous felonies. I think, as were described, most of them were in California. Actually, how many years did you do in prison in California before Arizona?
I believe it was 16.
Okay. There's so much at stake, I would think that you'd be very willing to comply with the house rules, with the conditions of supervision. I'm just trying to figure out what went wrong.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I never walk out of the house naked. I never walk out of my bedroom naked. I always have a robe on. The people that were there used to call me Hugh Lefter, because I've come out of my room with my robe on. These instances that he's talking about, if I would have done them, he would have evicted me. He didn't evict me. I don't understand how he's saying that I didn't do anything to have a right way to lose, or he would have kicked me out. His favorite thing was telling somebody that they were going to lose. We're going to send you to TLC. And see things that I know will never happen again. Being in prison for 28 years, it was a culture shock when I got out. I didn't know anything. And I had trouble at the beginning learning to adjust. When it was coming around, those classes that I was going to, the anger management class and the psychological and therapy class, that was all helping. I don't know if you have a report from Ms. Jewell or the other name, I got a name right there, I just can't remember. It's Karen Bassalon. I was working with them. They was helping. Everything I did. I never came home late. When I signed in at 2 o'clock, I was there 2 hours early. I never thought about rain. I didn't abscond. I didn't do anything except to try and do the right thing. And sometimes it was blurred. But I didn't go out and use drugs. I didn't go out and contact all these ex-cons or anything like that. I'm just trying to convince you that none of this will be, there will be no happy again, ever.
Thank you, sir. At this point,
thank you.
I would like to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. DeWitt, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you do not repeat anything that you have already told us, that this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand? Thank you, sir.
Well, the only thing I can say is that I'm sorry, and you guys do what you got to do, what's your job? If you think I can make it, please give me an opportunity. I guarantee you I won't let you know.
Thank you, Mr. DeWitt. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking to you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you will just remain on the telephone, we will come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate situation. This board felt that, based on a vote, that Mr. DeWitt could be safely transitioned back to the community, that he was ready for this transition. And I do appreciate that Mr. DeWitt is stating that he did not get involved in drugs, he wasn't spending time with other convicted felons, or in an appropriate, in an inappropriate way. But when we present this opportunity to an individual, I think we're really expecting them to adhere to the conditions, and there's just so much at stake, not to mention Mr. DeWitt's freedom. And on home arrest status, we understand that he's still an inmate, so to speak, for a guest in the Department of Corrections. But he's still outside of the prison walls, and I do not think it worked out very well for him. And I do look forward to meeting one of my colleagues in this case. Yes, the Honorable Mr. Neal.
Well, some differences, we found about minutes, and for validation, doesn't really stipulate how long it was, but first time he was staff, he promised he wouldn't do it again. The second one in Golden Island, they left, said he wouldn't do it again. Third time, he stop, made an unauthorized stop, and said he would do it again. So now after allegation four, which is an unauthorized departure and trip to Walmart, 2.5 hours worth, he said he would do it again. I think there was too many, I won't do it again at this point in time, and so I'm not in favor of returning the home arrest. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. The Honorable Ms. Gilbert Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Canales. I agree. I'm sure after 28 years of using a cell phone could be a problem, because I still have issues with it sometimes myself. And I can understand one error and maybe two errors, which he, you know, could ask the parole officer, could you show me how to use this thing? But I'm just not understanding four. So I agree with Mr. Neal on that.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. The Honorable Dr. Wright?
This was just an unfortunate situation. I think Mr. DeRitt was perhaps trying to do his best, but he just didn't apply himself. I think if he had applied himself, we wouldn't be talking to him today. I don't think he really took it serious. I think if he had taken it serious, he wouldn't be here today. And I think that somehow this reflects bad upon this board and upon DOC when things like this happen. And I just cannot, I cannot understand when one has his freedom and how they would do something like that. It's just a little embarrassing to the board, someone to violate over and over and over. Therefore, at this particular moment, sir, I'm not in favor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Board Chairman. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. James DeWitting. Based on the information provided to this board, and warrant number 2019-0497, our discussion with Mr. DeWitting, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. DeWitting was delinquent, following the terms and conditions of supervision that had lapsed or was about to lapse with the owner of the company, as much that he would not adhere to the conditions of the lease. Thus, not allowing for the same transition back to the community. That is a motion.
Second.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, viewed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Mr. DeWitt, your home arrest has been revoked, and, your home arrest has been revoked, so traditionally in a normal revocation hearing, we'd say what your release date is, but you're returning to the Department of Corrections for an indefinite amount of time, but you will be certified to appear before this board again. So we encourage you to take advantage of this time to put together a plan for how you think you might be ready to return to the community and to put some effort into convincing this board why we should give you another chance. We do want to see you succeed. We wanted you to succeed the first time. And as we stated more than once, this is a very unfortunate situation. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. Mr. DeWitt, I certainly take no pleasure in this decision today, so we do wish you the best, and we'll be seeing you again in a future hearing. Thank you, sir.
Can I ask you one question? How long will it be?
I guess that would be dependent on when...
Time clock.
Yeah, time clock makes that determination. I don't know what that would be. You'll have to talk to your CO3. We'll try to talk to see when you'll be eligible again to appear before this board.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Thank you very much for with the board.
Again, I apologize for this.
Thank you, sir.